Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Friday, November 8th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. And hey, maybe, I don't know, can you hear it? I feel a little bit better today. I was under the weather yesterday. Oh, what the hell?
Shame.
Really?
Shame.
I'm allowed to get sick occasionally. Come on, man. Come on. But feeling better, ready to roll after, whoa, holy crap, Thursday Night Football. The second half in particular. Holy crap, Thursday Night Football. Give you a couple quick thoughts on that, then we'll roll through these games. I do have some injury reports for Friday. I do have some players who are potentially out or already declared out. So we'll sift through all this for you here. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Let's get into last night. I hope you didn't have to face Ja'Marr Chase. Just saying. I hope you started Ja'Marr Chase instead or just completely dodged it. It was one of those things like where, you know, I watched the game last night. I went to sleep. I didn't think of it until I woke up this morning at like 6 a.m. And I'm like, oh, crap. How many leagues am I facing him? And unbelievably, I dodged it. I was like Neo in the Matrix, man. I dodged him everywhere. I'm in a league where there's a team that already has 130 points from last night. That is unreal. The game was wildly entertaining. Joe Burrow puts up 428 and 4. He's not the problem. Joe Burrow is playing, honestly, I'm going to say it. He's been playing at an MVP level. He's not the MVP. Lamar Jackson is obviously the clear favorite, and we'll talk about him in a minute. But he has been awesome this season. He's going to set career bests across the board. It's going to happen, provided, you know, I got to knock wood. He stays healthy, right? He's going to set career bests. And it's not as if he doesn't have an extremely lengthy career at this point, but it's not as if his career bests are chump change. You know, his best passing yardage was 4,611. He's already within 2,000 yards of that. He's at 2,672 right now. His career best in passing touchdowns, that the yardage was his second season in 2021. Touchdowns was 35 in his third season. He's already got 24. I mean, Burrow's an every week starter. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase, massive volume here. Mike Gesicki, here we go, right? This is what this dude does to us. And instead, it was Tanner Hudson who had the big game. And Chase Brown was so heavily involved. He ends up with 22 touches, 11 targets. Such a good pass catching back out of the backfield. He did have a crucial fumble. But the good news is Khalil Herbert came in and showed us exactly who Khalil Herbert is. Like, he fumbled on his first touch with the team and barely played. Let me get you the participation for Khalil Herbert. I don't want to. Yep. Okay. I was going to say two snaps. I wasn't quite sure. It was two snaps. Travion Williams played a snap. Chase Brown played 66 snaps last night. Over to the other side, Lamar Jackson. It was a quiet first half, a brilliant second half. You can tell he's not playing at 100%, but that's okay. That's going to happen during the course of an NFL season. He was just spectacular, though, in that second half. Ends up with 290, but four passing touchdowns, and of course, chips in on the ground, 33 yards on the ground. The one touchdown that was a bit fluky, obviously, was the Tylan Wallace tightrope walk. I can't even say it. Down the sideline, 3 for 115 and 1. He is not going to be an ad next week. Some people may chase those points. He played 5 routes. Rashad Bateman, probably a better ad, although I don't know what's going to happen with Deontay Johnson. That was a weird scenario. Like, he made some mistakes. He did get on the field immediately, but made some mistakes, ended up only playing 5 snaps. By comparison, Tylan Wallace played 12 snaps. So I don't know exactly what's going to happen there. I probably would, you know, kind of just slow my roll a little bit with Bateman. Flowers, not a big game this week, but they can't all be big games, so I wouldn't worry too much. There's nothing going on with him. Sometimes players just don't eat in these types of games. It just happens. Mark Andrews, though, with no Isaiah Likely, 6 for 68 and a touchdown. This was the Mark Andrews we've been looking for, and he had a couple really nice receptions. Like, not highlight reel plays, but just like, yo, this dude's just good at football type of plays, you know? Not a big game for Derrick Henry. Fortunately, we kind of dodged the Derrick dilemma a little because he did score a touchdown, but he does nothing in the passing game. 1 catch for 3 yards, 16 for 68 and a score. He's scored in every single game with the Ravens so far. You know, when they get down to the goal line area, it's not going to be Lamar. It's automatic Derrick Henry. And he made it look pretty easy. So if this is any indication, we're in store for a wild week 10. Can't wait. So let's get into it. We will kick things off with the Germany game. I was about to say London. It's not. It's a European game. So just make sure that if you have anybody going in this game, just give it a quick peek. 9 a.m. Eastern, I would say, is probably a good time. So on the West Coast, yeah, 6 a.m. because it starts at 9:30 a.m. East Coast time, 6:30 a.m. West Coast time. Giants, Carolina Panthers. On the Giants side, I mean, I could see using Daniel Jones in Superflex. I actually don't hate that. You're using Neighbors and Tyrone Tracy, of course. Wandale Robinson offers some wide receiver three potential because it is a fairly favorable matchup. Bryce Young will be the starter. I'm actually curious to see what goes down here. I want to root for him. I did meet Bryce after he had won the Heisman. He's a nice kid. You know, he's very likable, very easy to root for. Obviously, the play has not been great, but last week was decent. So let's see what happens here in a matchup. Like, hey, they won last week. They, you know, it was one of those games. You should beat the worst team in the league. The Giants are not the worst team in the league, but let's see if they can win this one. Liking, you know, obviously Chuba Hubbard. The only other playable option would be Xavier Leggett because it does not look like Adam Thielen is going to play in this one. He could be careening towards season-ending injured reserve. Remember, you have a 21-day window, and it was really concerning this week for Thielen because he went DNP straight through the week. So be careful with that. Otherwise, yeah, Xavier Leggett, that's pretty much it. Okay, on to New England and Chicago. Liking Drake May and his mobility, he is very much in the Superflex conversation in this one. If he puts up another solid line, we could start to think of him as a potential streamer option. Ramondre Stevenson, we know, volatile, but he does enough to be at least in RB2 consideration, back-end RB2 consideration. The only other player I'm really considering here would be Hunter Henry. I guess maybe DeMario Douglas as a flex, but I'm not really that bullish there. They could potentially spread the ball around, so and really nobody has popped that much. Like, I know Douglas has seen some decent volume, but nobody's really popped out of those wide receivers. Caleb Williams has been up and down. Super flex option, fine. Not going any further than that. Like, really, I think this game's going to be a lot of DeAndre Swift. He has been very good over his last four games, and this is a favorable spot for him. If you have DJ Moore, know it's a roller coaster ride. And if you can't handle players with roller coaster ride profiles, you could try and trade him away. I'm not going to talk you out of that because ultimately, like, you got to play the game within your own comfort zone. And if you just can't handle wild swings and you want a guy who's going to consistently produce, I mean, there are very few of those, but DJ Moore is not going to be the guy for you. You know, he had that big game. Now it's a month ago, and then he hasn't really done much since. He's had 10 catches for 80 yards over the last 3 weeks, but he's still the best option on this group. Adunze offers a lot of upside. I have a great stat here. So he's the first Bears rookie receiver to record 2 100-yard games in his rookie season since 1983 when Willie Gault did so. That's pretty awesome right there. He has a higher ceiling. Keenan Allen has the higher floor, but Keenan Allen has basically no ceiling. He has 41 or fewer receiving yards in all 6 games he's played in this season. Moving on to Buffalo and Indianapolis. News from Indianapolis. So Michael Pittman Jr. will not play in this one. It has been a rough season for him, no doubt about it, but that does move Josh Downs up a tick. I would put him in sort of that fringe wide receiver one range. And by the way, like, I know sometimes this will happen with people. They'll be like, well, I played Zay Flowers ahead of him because Downs was further down in rankings. Well, yes, you made the right decision at that time, but we didn't know this was going to be the future. And so when rankings change after Thursday Night Football, there's not much you can do. All we can do is use the information that we have at that time. And at FTN, I assure you, I do my darndest to make sure that is as updated as possible on Thursday night. But things could still change. You know, they always can. I mean, I will tell you this, the projection for the guy on Thursday night never changes, but guys can move around based on things like this right here. So here's a prime example where, you know, Downs moves up. He does. Flacco should be targeting him heavily in this one. I mean, obviously, maybe Alec Pierce is like sort of a desperation flex play. I think Flacco bounces back. here, and I do like Jonathan Taylor. On the other side, no Keon Coleman. I had mentioned that earlier in the week. He's not playing. Amari Cooper is questionable. He has a wrist issue. Honestly, I think this is 50-50 because he was limited all week. He didn't even get to full. So this is a dicey one. If you have Cooper, just make sure you have a plan in place. If neither of them go, then I expect a lot of Dalton Kincaid and a lot of Khalil Shakir. And, you know, James Cook is still an RB2. In theory, a favorable matchup. Denver, Kansas City. Okay, to Denver. Let me address Aldrick Estime first and foremost. If you have Aldrick Estime, you do not have anything yet. And you may not have anything. I want to be really clear on this because I've seen some people in the FTN Discord who have Estime and they are just assuming that this guy's going to be the lead back. That's not what Sean Payton said. Sean Payton said that essentially his role is going to increase, but we don't know what that means. That could be, you know, if you say, all right, his max this season is 5 carries. What if he goes to 10? That's a 100% increase. That's a big increase, but it's nothing for fantasy. So be careful. Now, that's not saying drop him. Not at all. In fact, I like this move. Pick him up, see what we have. If the role shows some signs of increasing this week, now keep in mind it's Kansas City and it's a very good defense, but if it shows some signs of increasing this week, then we may have something. I want to give this a couple weeks to see where we are because you never quite know. And Javonte Williams has been lackluster at best this season. Bo Nix, not a streamer this week. Really, the only player I'm willing to use with any confidence is Courtland Sutton. And it's only moderate confidence. I mean, 21 targets over the last 2 weeks is good. I guess you could still flex Javonte Williams if you needed to. Mahomes trending up, great. Kelsey trending up, great. Hopkins, not quite wide receiver one material. I'm gonna proceed with caution here. I have him as a wide receiver two play. And then Kareem Hunt, I still think the play is not good. It's not efficient. But when you get 20 plus carries, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be efficient. When you get 11 goal line carries since taking over 5 games ago, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what I think of his play. If he's going to put up fantasy points, he's going to be a top 15 guy. And that's exactly what he is here. Atlanta and New Orleans. This one is really good for Atlanta. The only thing holding back the passing game would be essentially if it's a blowout. But loving what we've seen over Kirk Cousins, 7 passing scores over the last 2 games. Drake London is trending towards playing here after the hip pointer. In fact, not even trending towards. He's listed as questionable. Okay. So I would say potentially on the right side of questionable, but we'll keep an eye on that regardless. Kyle Pitts was taken off the injury report. This was a prime example. I had somebody who hit me up and it was on Wednesday and they said, well, Kyle Pitts isn't going to play. And I said, well, what makes you think that? Oh, well, he's got a hamstring injury. And it's like, yeah, but he's limited. And I'll tell you, when you look at practice reports on Wednesday, like the first practice report of the week, if that guy played last week and he's limited on the first practice, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. If he goes DNP, that's a potential bad thing, but we still won't know. Now, if the player missed last week and is limited in the first practice, that may still be a bad thing. But, you know, there's ways to read these practice reports. And like, so I had no worries about Kyle Pitts. And a lot of times I think fantasy managers create much ado about nothing for themselves. Like if it's not something that we need to really worry about, and really we shouldn't be worrying about anything because the secret to fantasy football, don't freak out. But if we don't have anything to worry about, then don't worry about it and, you know, focus on other things. So that's good. Long story short, he's playing. He'll be fine here. Bijan is in a fantastic spot. He's got 935 scrimmage yards already this season. The Saints have allowed 8 rushing touchdowns to running backs over the last 5 weeks. Now, on the Saints side, Olave is not going to play. We finally heard the possibility of injured reserve. Darren Rizzi, who just took over as the interim, brought that up to reporters. Doesn't mean he's going to injured reserve. I don't know what would stop them from doing that right now. Maybe they won't. I don't even know because the team's not going to make the playoffs. The team is, you know, there's nothing here. So if you want to do it, just do it. But we can't really do anything with Olave until we get clarity here. So he's just a hold for me. I've been holding him on a bench. Fortunately, was able to move him to an IR spot, but that's it. Alvin Kamara is eating, so we can use him with a lot of confidence. And actually, I think we could use Taysom Hill as a top 12 guy as well in this one. San Francisco and Tampa. All right, Christian McCaffrey figures to be back in this one. He's an RB1 when he is back on the field. Love this spot for Brock Purdy, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, and maybe even Juwan Jennings, because he could end up being a wide receiver 3 type this week. So not a bad spot there. Now, Tampa, I do not have a Friday practice report, but I can tell you I have heard through the grapevine that Baker Mayfield will be good to go, even though he went DNP in back-to-back days. The problem is I have not heard one way or the other on the rest of the group. The reports suggest Jalen McMillan is going to go down as limited, but I don't know if he'll actually be taken off the injury report at this point. If he is questionable, he will be very questionable. Same thing with Sterling Shepard. So the moral of the story, this might be a week to fade Baker Mayfield. I love the way he's playing, but he only has Kate Otten. Like, really, it's bad because no Mike Evans. Like, that's already determined. I know it sucks. If you want to hang on to Baker Mayfield, I'm not going to talk you out of it. He's not a guy who I'm viewing as an every week starter right now, but that could change when Evans comes back. Who knows? And keep in mind, I only have 6 every week starters, maybe 7, you know, if you include Jordan Love. So it's not an extensive list. But you got to make that decision for yourself if you want to carry him through his bye week. Now, Rashad White and Bucky Irving remain flex options. Like, Kate Otten obviously is locked into starting lineups. Let's move over to Pittsburgh, Washington. Russell Wilson, I just love the numbers, man. I know people don't like Russell Wilson. I get it. But he is significantly outperforming Justin Fields. We'll see if that continues here. Marshawn Lattimore will not play for Washington this week, so that actually is pretty good. We don't know how much Mike Williams is going to play, so I think it's just George Pickens, Najee Harris, and then Russell Wilson as a super flex option. I think that's really how we're playing this one. You know, Jaden Daniels is locked in along with Terry McLaurin. McLaurin should see some Joey Porter, but I'm not worried about that matchup. The thing we're keeping the closest eye on is Brian Robinson's status. So this is another one where I don't have a Friday practice report. I can tell you he's gone limited, but remember what I just said. If you missed last week and you start the week out limited, actually not the best sign. It's not an indicator you're definitely out, but I've seen this practice pattern before. So here's what we can do to prepare. If Robinson plays, even against the Steelers, he's an RB2. If he doesn't play, the best option is still Austin Eckler, even though they split snaps fairly evenly between Eckler last week, Chris Rodriguez, and Jeremy McNichols. It's still Eckler. I mean, he had 83 total yards and a touchdown, so that was not too bad. All right, Minnesota-Jacksonville. I know what everybody wants to know on this one, so we'll start on the Jacksonville side. Trevor Lawrence trending towards not playing. His head coach was very evasive about this, but he's not going to play. Let's just clear the air here. He may be done for the season. I don't know. But what I do know is they signed a quarterback off of another team's practice squad who has familiarity with the offense in CJ Beathard. That's a move to back up Mac Jones. Usually that's what that means. Now, this may be an instance where, hey, that is wrong. But I would be prepared for that if you have Trevor Lawrence. So Mac Jones will be viable as a back-end super flex option, like a back-end QB2. He's actually not that big of a downgrade from where Lawrence was this season, so I'm not worried about Brian Thomas. I'm not worried about Evan Ingram. The backfield is still frustrating, but you know it shouldn't be that bad. Now, the matchup is brutal. Minnesota is so good on the defensive side of the ball, so you had that. But I think Jones is still going to throw the ball around the yard a little bit, and he's got some decent weapons. So we'll see what happens. But if I had Trevor Lawrence in Superflex, which I do, I went out and I got Mac Jones immediately as soon as this news broke. You know, that was the move. Sam Darnold is in a great spot. He is playing the worst defense in pass DVOA. So top 10 play for him. Justin Jefferson, I actually have at number 1 for the week. So yeah, I don't have Ja'Marr Chase at number 1. I had him at number 2. Come on. So by my rankings, he should have more than Ja'Marr Chase. He should have more than, like, whatever, 54 points or whatever it is. No, but, I mean, he'll still be good. It's a great matchup. It's a great matchup for Aaron Jones. I think the thing I'm keeping the closest eye on is how much TJ Hockenson is used. And we don't know what the answer is to that one yet, but that'll be fascinating to follow. Moving on to the Tennessee Titans and LA Chargers. So I was hoping it was going to be Mason Rudolph, and it's not going to be Mason Rudolph. It's going to be Will Levis as the starter. That really takes the wind out of the sails for Calvin Ridley over the last two games with Rudolph in there. 15 catches, 216 yards. He was not good earlier in the season with Will Levis outside of like a couple big plays. So I'm going to have to move Calvin Ridley down. He may ultimately just be a flex play. Really, the only player I think who I have any confidence in, if he's healthy, is Tony Pollard. And that still is an if, because Tony Pollard went limited DNP. He did go DNP all 3 days last week and play. That's a very rare thing, but occasionally it happens. If he doesn't go, Tajay Spears at best is a flex play. I can't go any more than that. I don't really have much confidence in their ability to move the football with Will Levis in there as well. So it's a rough spot. On the other side, lots of confidence in Justin Herbert, lots of confidence as a super flex option, lots of confidence in his receivers, Quentin Johnston, maybe a back end wide receiver three, Ladd McConkey wide receiver two, and then J.K. Dobbins is rolling. Oh, and keep in mind, if you have Kimani Vidal, Gus Edwards is back. Well, designated to return. He could be activated as early as this week. So Vidal won't be a handcuff when Edwards returns. Philly and Dallas. So Nick Sirianni got himself into a little bit of trouble revealing that they may be hiding, may have been hiding an ankle injury for Jalen Hurts. I'm not overly concerned with that. But you know, you're using him, you're using Barkley, you're using AJ Brown. And another example of people reading too much into a Wednesday practice report with Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith missed that first practice of the week, but then got to limited yesterday. I highly doubt he sits this week. Highly doubt that. It could happen, but I highly doubt it. You always, you know, again, always just have sort of plans in place. This is why we roster depth in fantasy. Over to the other side, Cooper Rush will get the start with Dak Prescott out for this week. Still not on injured reserve. We don't know the extent of his absence. But either way, I think the biggest question is the impact on CeeDee Lamb. Now, Lamb is expected to play as of right now. I don't have a Friday practice report. He has been limited in both practices this week. So if he's out there, honestly, I don't think it's that big of a downgrade. I'm going to move him. I moved him down to like wide receiver, front end wide receiver two territory, but still a top 15 play. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And when you looked at what he did the not last year, 2 years ago, five games with Cooper Rush, right? In those five games, he averaged 6.2 catches, 76 receiving yards on the nose, and he had three touchdowns. He scored in three of the five games. Like, not bad production whatsoever. So I'm not worried there. Rico Dowdle is still a flex play. Arizona and the Jets. Jets is pretty straightforward, right? Wilson, Adams, Brees, okay. Aaron Rodgers is a super flex. If you have Wilson and you have Adams on the same team and they're the two highest ranked receivers, what do? You start them. If you have Breece Hall on that same team and he's their highest ranked running, you start him. Don't overthink this stuff. Like, I know we talk about negative correlation as you know, it's a draft strategy concept, but once we get into the season, once you made the bed, you got to lie in that bad boy, right? Because we're starting the highest ranked guys if they give us the best chance of scoring the most points. That's the whole idea. To the other side, Kyler's 15-game touchdown streak was snapped last week. He's a boomer bust, but you know, he has such a high ceiling that he's appealing as a top 12. Marvin Harrison Jr., more of a wide receiver three option. And then Trey McBride, he doesn't score touchdowns. He's only scored three times in his NFL career as a receiver. He scored as a runner last week. But I don't care. You know, he's still a tight end one, and James Conner is the consummate RB two. Detroit and Houston. Okay, so we have maybe the only issue here on the Detroit side is if the game does get a little out of hand. I think Houston will be able to keep it tight, provided Nico Collins plays. So here's where we are with Nico Collins. He actually finally was designated to return today. He could still be activated before this game, but limited practice, not necessarily the best indicator here. If you have Nico Collins, be prepared for him to potentially sit out another week. That would mean CJ Stroud not really usable. I mean, Tank Dell would be fine. Joe Mixon's obviously fine, but that's it on that side. Now, again, if that's the scenario, game script may limit what Jared Goff can do because it could be a very run-heavy game script. Lots of Gibbs, lots of Montgomery. Amon-Ra is fine regardless, but just keep that in mind here. If Collins plays, it is a big difference maker because, you know, we saw it last week. They just don't have anybody other than Tank Dell at this point. So it would be a big difference maker, and that will impact the ultimate rankings for this game. All right, Miami and the Rams. I don't know. I'm getting the tingles here for Tyreek Hill. You know, the spidey senses are saying, hey, this is the week where it happens. he had 80 yards on 4 catches last week. I mean, it just feels like it, right? Ja'Marr Chase said, hey, guys, everybody can do this week. We're all just going to blow up, you know? But you're using him regardless. Waddle's down in wide receiver 3 territory. That's fine. I wouldn't want to use Mostert as anything more than a flex. Like, he can score touchdowns in any given week if they get down there, but there's no guarantee that they'll have goal line carries. So I'd much rather just have, you know, Achan as an RB1. I mean, wouldn't that be nice to have that on every team? Tua is a streamer this week, obviously a good super flex option, but Matthew Stafford's a better option. 6 passing touchdowns over his last 2 games. He's a top 12 play for me this week. One of the best streamers on the board. Puka Nacua not on the injury report. I don't have today yet, but he wasn't on there yesterday, so that's good. He was ejected last week, but the knee issue doesn't seem to be an issue. Him and Cooper Kupp are top 10 plays. Be careful with DeMarcus Robinson. Yes, back-to-back 2 touchdown games, but be careful. Be careful because those two, Nacua and Kupp, are the ones who eat, and I think Kyron Williams bounces back this week. Okay, I think that is all the latest. Obviously, there could be some moving pieces in terms of news, so make sure you're always keeping an eye on the news feeds out there. But otherwise, oh, I didn't mention Dallas Goedert. He is cleared to play. He's going to be in this one. If Smith doesn't play, Dallas Goedert is better. There you go. Tying a bow on the Philadelphia Eagles there. Latest will always be updated over at ftnfantasy.com. In fact, I'm going to do that right after I finish publishing this podcast. Otherwise, follow along with me on socials at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter. And I will catch you on the flip side of the weekend. Enjoy it. Week 10, baby. Going to be a big one. All right, I'll be back on Monday. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.